insights into the Holy Quran.
Indeed, this Quran guides to what is most upright and gives the good news to the faithful who do righteous deeds, that there is a great reward for them.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد والثناء لله رب العالمين ثم الصلاة والسلام على سيدنا ونبينا وحبيب قلوبنا أبي القاسم المصطفى محمد وعلى آل بيته الطيبين الطاهرين المعصومين لا سيما بقية الله في العالمين روحي وأرواح العالمين لتراب مقدمه الفداء. Assalamu alaikum, brothers and sisters. I would like to welcome you to our program. And inshallah, we hope that He blesses us, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala blesses us with the understanding of a few more of His verses. First, let's hear the verses.
بَلَى مَنْ كَسَبَ سَيِّئَةً وَأَحَاطَتْ بِهِ خَطِيئَتُهُ فَأُولَئِكَ أَصْحَابُ النَّارِ هُمْ فِيهَا خَالِدُونَ والذين آمنوا وعملوا الصالحات أولئك أصحاب الجنة هم فيها خالدون وإذ أخذنا ميثاق بني إسرائيل لا تعبدون إلا الله وبالوالدين إحسانا وذي القربى واليتامى والمساكين وقولوا للناس حسنا وأقيموا الصلاة وآتوا الزكاة ثم توليتم إلا قليلا منكم وأنتم معرضون.
We were discussing verses 81 and 82 that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala once again mentions a principle by which the lives of human beings are governed in this life and the hereafter. And He talks about the relationship that this life, human beings' lives in this world, has with the hereafter. And that was as a reply to the Jewish people who believed that because of their lineage and because they are the chosen people, they are not going to be punished in hellfire. And if they are, maybe for a few days, but then God is going to be taking them to paradise because they are the chosen people. As a response to that, the verses 81 and 82, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala expresses this Quranic fact again, which is a sunnah. The way that human lives are governed, this is the way human beings are. There's no special treatment for anybody. This is the principle. Whoever, from whatever lineage they may be, commits wrong deeds and persists in doing so until they block off all the light of guidance from their heart, they will be in hellfire and they will be there forever. If, however, they or whoever believes in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and what He has revealed and practices that, they will be people that are going to be going to paradise, and they will remain there forever. Now, this was mentioned in the previous session. I just wanted to expand on something regarding this and a misconception that's going on, at least with some people. It's not too widespread, but some people feel, once they hear it, some people feel that, you know, if they address this issue, they will be actually disrespecting the Prophet or, you know, ideas like that. And that is the misconception that if one is related to the Holy Prophet, then they're going to be getting special treatment in the hereafter. They're not going to be punished or things like that. Before I mention the story, there's two points that I would like to say. That this, what I'm trying to say and what I'm trying to explain here isn't that we should go and disrespect at all, you know, the Salat. This is not the point. The point isn't that, you know, our treatment of the progeny of the Prophet should be exactly the way we treat everybody else. As someone that is related to the Holy Prophet, if they are a good person, then obviously as a respect to the Holy Prophet, then we definitely want to make sure we don't disrespect them as a respect for the Holy Prophet. And also we it's good to show more respect to people that are, you know, of that lineage because of the Holy Prophet, not in and of themselves. This is because of the Holy Prophet. However, this should not mean that anyone takes advantage of this, on one hand, and also that anyone thinks that these people, or, you know, people of the lineage of the Holy Prophet, are going to be treated differently in the hereafter, the way the Jews thought about themselves. This is not the case, brothers and sisters. Now, as an explanation for that, I just wanted to quote one of the stories that we have during the time of the Ahlul Bayt, and there's numerous ones. One of the stories that we see at the time of the Ahlul Bayt is some of the children, the grandchildren of Imam al-Hasan, salamullah alayhi, the second Imam of the Shias. We know that Imam Hasan had a number of children, all of which were not in Karbala. In other words, not every single one of them was participating in the Battle of Karbala. Some of them were, like Qasim, we know, and Abdullah ibn al-Hasan, which according to some history books, Imam al-Hasan had a son by the name of Abdullah that was present there in Karbala, but he also had other children that were not present in Karbala. Those children had offspring and, there's a progeny of Imam Hasan al-Mujtaba. Some of these children of Imam Hasan al-Mujtaba, at the time of Imam Baqir and Imam al-Sadiq, salamullah alayhima, the fifth and sixth Imams, they started to claim that they are actually the Imams. They are the lineage of Imam al-Hasan. Imam Hasan, salamullah alayhi, was the older son. Therefore, the sons of Imam Hasan should be the Imams. And some of them claimed to be the Mahdi. Some of them claimed to be the Mahdi, an individual by the name of Muhammad ibn Abdullah ibn Hasan, which apparently is the great-great-grandson of Imam al-Hasan al-Mujtaba, salamullah alayhi. He started to claim that he is the Mahdi, and others started to follow that claim. Other children and other grandchildren of Imam al-Hasan, salamullah alayhi, started to follow that, and they came to Imam al-Sadiq, salamullah alayhi, and actually told him that he should also follow, and he should consider them the Imam. And they started objecting why Imam al-Sajjad, salamullah alayhi, was considered the Imam after Imam Hussein. Since Imam al-Hasan, salamullah alayhi, they argued, was older, then although after he was martyred, Imam al-Hussein, which was his brother, became the Imam, but after that it should have been the son of Imam al-Hasan, not Imam al-Hussein. So my point is that these people started, they had an argument, and some of them reached the level of animosity towards the Imams. They are themselves from the lineage of the Holy Prophet. They carry the blood of the Holy Prophet. Yet they are objecting, and not just objecting softly, they reach the level of animosity of the Imams. And in the Hadith, we have la'an towards these people, curses towards these people. These are definitely the lineage of the Holy Prophet. They're a lot closer to the Holy Prophet than people of today that are descendants of the Holy Prophet. Yet because of their very wrong deeds, that not only they blocked the light of guidance to reach their heart by doing such and becoming the enemies of the Imams, they also blocked others from guidance, and they misled them by using the name of Imam al-Hasan salamullah alayhi and the lineage of the Holy Prophet. Some people were misled, they were misguided. Some of the Shia were misguided because of these individuals. Another example is a famous example, the uncle of the 12th Imam, Ja'far al-Kadhab. He is the son of an Imam, the brother of an Imam, and the uncle of an Imam. Now, as some like to say, how much more Sayyid could you become? Such a person became the spy of the Abbasid ruler over the Imam, over Imam al-Askari, salamullah alayhi, so that they make sure no child is born of this Imam, because they knew the child that is born from this Imam is going to be the Mahdi. He is going to be the promised one that will rule over the earth, and he will be taking down all tyrants and destroying all types of oppression. So they were fearful of that. The person that would spy on Imam al-Askari was his own brother, the uncle of the 12th Imam, Ja'far al-Kadhab. which the Imams cursed themselves. So the point is, this verse is a Quranic principle. It's a sunnah. It is the way Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has told us will govern everybody, will treat everybody. And that hereafter, you are treated the way you have acted. If you have done good deeds, if one has done good deeds, they will be receiving the blessings in the hereafter and the rewards. They will be in paradise and they will be staying there forever. If one has done wrong deeds, doesn't matter what one's lineage is, even if it goes back to Prophet Ibrahim, even if it goes back to Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the treatment is going to be the same. That is, they will be punished. And if they reach the stage where they've blocked all passages of life, of light to their hearts, the light of guidance is blocked completely, and that means they're going to be staying in hellfire forever. Now, in verse 83, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala refers back to Bani Israel. Let me remind the listeners that since verse 47, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has been addressing Bani Israel. Then the language changed and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala started to speak directly to the Holy Prophet, but it was still regarding Bani Israel. In verse 83, it starts to move back to Bani Israel, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَإِذْ أَخَذْنَا مِثَاقَ بَنِي إِسْرَائِيلَ لَا تَعْبُدُونَ إِلَّا اللَّهِ. And when we took a pledge from the children of Israel, لَا تَعْبُدُونَ إِلَّا اللَّهِ, worship no one but Allah, وَبِالْوَالِدَيْنِ إِحْسَانًا, do good to parents. وَإِذْ أَخَذْنَا مِثَاقَ بَنِي إِسْرَائِيلَ, the pledge again is mentioned. In a previous verse, for those who remember, in verse 63, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had mentioned this mithaq, or this pledge. But at that time, he didn't mention what's in the pledge. It was just saying that the commandments and the pledge was taken that they should, the children of Israel, were going to be abiding by what is sent down by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In this verse, that oath or that pledge is expanded and explained what that oath was and what the pledge was. The pledge was that they should do the following: worship no one but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Do not be mushrik. Do not worship the handmade golden calf that the Samiri had made. Do not worship anything. Do not worship any material being. Do not worship yourself. Okay, worshiping in a verse, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us that أَفَرَأَيْتَ الَّذِي اتَّخَذَ إِلَاهَهُ هَوَاهُ, have you seen the person that takes his own hawa, his own desires as his ilah? Worshipping means blindly following. Okay, do not follow anyone but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَبِالْوَالِدَيْنِ إِحْسَانًا. And interestingly, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, right after saying that you need to worship no one but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you need to only worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it is so important that it needs to be mentioned next that you should do good to the parents. There's more explanation regarding this point and other points mentioned in this verse that we will have to leave for the next session. Inshallah, I hope that you can join us with that, inshallah. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
سبحانك يا من لا شريك له 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 سبحانك.